WCOM-LP Chapel Hill in Carrboro. You're tuned in to the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show, Our Wake-Up Call. We'll be back momentarily.
We fight, but I don't care. It's all Shaco Babble rap to me.
Shaco Babble.
Tell you about a dream that I have every night. It's a dummy stereo, but I never hear it right. Take me for a fool, well, that's all right. Well, I see the way to go, but there isn't any light. I don't know, I'm scared of the lightning trying to reach me. Help me to find what I don't want to know. Taking me there, but I don't want to go. I don't care, it's all psycho battle rap to me.
Psycho battle, all psycho
us what Parenthood is about, what its mission is, mm-hmm. and how long it's been doing this.
Yeah, so Planned Parenthood, we actually just celebrated our 99th anniversary last month.
Oh.
We've been providing reproductive and sexual health care for nearly 100 years.
Oh, I didn't know it was that old.
Mm-hmm. That's when Margaret Sanger first opened a clinic in New York City to give out information about contraception,
was the forerunner of. Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought it was just like from around the 50s.
No. I think many local Planned Parenthoods have opened I think there were several that opened in the 50s, 60s, 70s, but our roots go back.
Your roots go back. Wow. Well, you're right on right after us. We're so excited about our 100th birthday, and now we'll be mentioning Planned Parenthood at our birthday party because you're right, our sister
yep.
Organization. Well, that's wonderful. So it started with Margaret Sanger, and that was one that was pretty risky then to give birth control information. It was kind of a new idea, wasn't it?
It was at the time. Yeah, it was revolutionary to be giving out information so that women could make decisions about their own bodies.
Although I think there's reports, in ancient times, women very often figured out some ways to try to help control their fertility.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this was for the modern days. That was the first, and she was a, because she had been going up into the tenement buildings and helping women and seeing how many were having so many children and they were in such poverty.
I was going to say, I honestly don't know as much of kind of Margaret Sanger's personal history as I would like to. But I can tell you that Planned Parenthood now is the nation's largest provider of reproductive health care, largest and most trusted. About 1 in 5 women will come to Planned Parenthood for health care at some point in her lifetime.
Wow. So that's a very impressive statistic that I think gets lost in a lot of other parts of the news. Mm-hmm. So it's the largest provider nationwide, 1 in 5 women.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder in this state how long it's been going. Do you have any idea?
So I know in Chapel Hill we recently celebrated our 50th anniversary.
50th.
And I believe, I'm not sure actually which health center in the state opened first, but they're all about that age, yeah. We've been part of the community for a long time.
So in addition to, like, help with reproductive issues, I think Planned Parenthood does a whole lot of other things, too.
Yeah, and we are also a provider of sex education for young people, and we really specialize in providing accurate and age-appropriate sex education. So we'll focus on, you know, with younger folks, on healthy relationships and self-esteem, all the way up to really making sure that young people you know, who are in high school, for example, have the information about their own bodies to make informed decisions about their future.
So you hold classes at your facility, or how does that work?
Yeah, several of our health centers also have, right, classes that are sequenced, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
One that I am really familiar with and have a great deal of admiration for is in Greensboro, North Carolina. We have a Teens Taking Action program there. We also have a program in Fayetteville. We have programs in Chapel Hill. We also have a really innovative and fantastic program in Wilmington that works specifically with parenting teens to help them, you know, be successful as parents and to finish high school while preventing a second pregnancy.
Wow, that is wonderful. So how long have you been working for Planned Parenthood?
I've been with Planned Parenthood for about 3 years. And I am.
And what is your role?
Yeah, I'm our senior director of field operations now. When I first came to Planned Parenthood, I was a field organizer.
So you started out as an organizer.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's where my roots are, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So what got you interested?
Yeah.
Other than that you're a woman. And
well,
I know some of those same issues, but what specifically? Was this something that drew you to it?
There was, and it took me some time to really figure out kind of where the roots of this were, because I had been, I think, politically interested for a long time, but my interest in Planned Parenthood really sparked from a time when I was in college and didn't have health insurance that covered me where I was going to school, and I had an abnormal pap and needed follow-up care and didn't know where to go to get it without health insurance, and I was really lucky that I was able to get switched onto my dad's health insurance later, but I can't tell you what a relief it was to know that Planned Parenthood would be there and would be a place that I could go. It was a huge relief. And so later that year or the following year, when the Komen Foundation said that they were no longer going to provide funding to Planned Parenthood for cancer screenings, I and a lot of other women at my college were outraged. And so we organized to pass out information on our campus about the good work that Planned Parenthood actually did in the community, and that's when I really became invested in this organization.
So did the Komen Foundation ever reverse that?
They did. There was a huge outcry, yeah, from folks across the country, really, saying that they stand with Planned Parenthood, and so that funding was restored.
I thought that. I remembered that it finally had turned out in Planned Parenthood's favor.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that there's been recently some controversy, and we're not going to dwell on that, but I think we ought to just mention, I think a lot of it's been resolved, but do you want to just tell us from Planned Parenthood's perspective a little of what happened and where things are at?
Sure. I think many folks are familiar with the attacks on Planned Parenthood that began this summer, this July. What we know now is that the videos that have been released are highly edited and have been shown to be fraudulent.
Mm-hmm.
The folks behind them are, you know, the same people who have been attacking access to reproductive health care for decades now. One of the members of that group was actually recently denied entrance to Australia because they were afraid that he was going to incite violence there. So the folks that we, you know, that have been saying these things about Planned Parenthood are criminals. What we know is that the patients who rely on us for health care are still coming to us. You know, we're not going anywhere. Our mission is to provide health care no matter what, and that's what we will do.
Well, good for you. And I was so glad when finally the truth started coming out, although for some people, once there's something bad said, they stick with that, you know, and never quite listen to the other side or the resolution of it. But I'm so glad that women are the ones who count, and they're the ones are voting with their feet and still coming to Planned Parenthood because they realize what a wonderful organization it is. Just like when you were short of, as a student, did not have a lot of money or insurance, you found a place that you could get help where there's probably no other place that you could go. And I think that for many women, that's the bottom line. Who's going to be there for me when I really need help?
And we've had dozens of women come forward and share their stories about the times in their lives when Planned Parenthood was there for them and what it meant to know that they would be able to receive confidential, non-judgmental health care.
So where's Planned Parenthood right now? I mean, I hope that issue is sort of behind us. Are they moving forward now? Are they feeling that their funding and everything's okay?
Yeah, so we have actually seen tremendous support from the folks who have always stood with us, right? Mm-hmm. We did see in this last legislative session, the General Assembly voted to defund two of our highly effective sex education programs, both in the budget and then in legislation that made that cut permanent. But
that's in this state.
Mm-hmm, that's here in North Carolina. But fortunately, our donors have stepped up and said that they will continue to make sure that those programs are available for the people who rely on them.
Oh, that's good.
It's been really tremendous to see that support.
So on one hand, there's always going to be some people who are threatened mm-hmm. by anything that helps women have some power over their lives and their bodies. But thank gosh, there's still a lot of other people who will stand up and be counted.
We are getting organized in this state better than we have ever been before. Mm-hmm. We actually have students from, I think we're up to 11 college campuses joining us for a youth activist training this weekend. We're thrilled to be able to do that. Those are young women and men who will take the skills that they learn back to create change on their own college campuses.
So maybe out of this controversy, maybe out of that is sort of rallying people who care to stand up and be counted. I wonder, would that have happened before this? I mean, do you think that's kind of got people rallying around the flag, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I think we were talking a few weeks ago about, or before really these attacks started coming, about what we as Planned Parenthood needed to do to be relevant in the upcoming election. And that is no longer an issue that we are facing. So, as several candidates love to talk about us, we are certainly relevant.
You got very relevant.
Yep.
In a way that you wish hadn't happened, but it certainly has some bonuses that you had not anticipated.
You could say that, yeah.
Well, a positive way of looking at it, yeah. Yeah. Well, so 11 campuses, is this in the state or is this around the country?
This is in North Carolina.
In North Carolina. Mm-hmm. That's great. Is UNC one of them?
UNC is one, yep. And then we also have students from NC Central, from UNC Greensboro, several, both public and private institutions, will be joining us. So we're thrilled.
So these young people will be getting training for...
We're going to get into the reproductive justice lens, really addressing intersectionality in our work, which we're excited to be doing. We are also going to be training folks just in, telling their story of self, right? Really using their own experiences as a tool to bring others into the movement. We are also going to be talking about really strategies for addressing problems that they see on their campuses, whether it's high rates of STIs in some places or if it's the wave of campus sexual violence that we've been seeing.
So sexual issues are in the limelight in many ways, and that's been a big one on college campuses, the whole thing. I think with Jimmy Carter, when he wrote that book, was it a year or two ago? And felt that it was one of the major problems in the world, how women are being treated around the world, and that in this country we are not off the hook, that the amount of violence to women was as bad as many other countries. So that really, to me, really brought it home. Mm-hmm. Somebody of his stature to really say that's one of the major problems facing the world. With all the other problems that we face, he saw that as the most significant. And that's pretty telling.
Right. Well, and we have also seen, though, that on many college campuses, you know, survivors are finding each other and are, feeling like they're creating safe spaces to share their experiences. And then, you know, as they are able or as they feel comfortable, really addressing those issues with their campus administration when justice isn't carried out. Mm-hmm. So it's been really great to see the work that young people are doing on this issue, because institutions have to do better.
So there's a lot of organizing going on around sexual issues, around reproductive issues. That's such a hopeful thing to have young people involved like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yep, we've got, it's funny, I joke that we have kind of the Tumblr generation. Tumblr's an online blogging site, and I think that, you know, it's a way, again, that the internet is helping folks get connected and get information in ways that they never could before.
Okay, that's a lesson to me. I'm not even with a computer yet, but I realize that it is such a way to do so much good, as well as mm-hmm. some other things.
Well, and we talked too about the fact that, you know, Planned Parenthood sees in this state tens of thousands of folks at our health centers every year. Nationwide, we see about 3 million patients every year, but about 6 million people a day visit our website and get information that they need to be healthy. So
So
it's really a tremendous tool.
Wow, yeah, that 6 million
mm-hmm.
a day?
I think that I have that number right, yep.
Wow, that's shocking in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you start realizing, you add that all up, how much impact Planned Parenthood is having as a force for good for women, with information, with health people there, health professionals, that is just absolutely wonderful. And I'm so glad you're in this state. This state needs all the help it can get. I can share my own story with Planned Parenthood. I was brought up Catholic. And married very, very young, too young, pregnant, because I didn't know anything about birth control, had no idea. I just remember the priest talking from the altar about cancer-producing devices and about what a sin it was. So there I was, married. I had a second baby when I was 18, first at 17, and then a third when I was 20. And then I was getting panicked, and I saw an ad about Planned Parenthood, and I found out where it was, and I went, and I was shaking, and I went in, and I burst into tears, and I said, you know, I've just had, you know, a third baby, but I'm Catholic, and I don't even know what birth control looks like, I don't even know what it is, you know, but I need help. And they were so wonderful. They brought out this whole foam thing of showing your whole reproductive area. They were so kind and so didn't laugh at me. Very gentle, very, very understanding. And then they brought out a diaphragm. And I looked at this little white plastic or latex, I guess it was, whatever it was. And I literally said, is that all it is? I was so scared what it was going to look like. I had no idea that it was going to hurt me. And so that was a Planned Parenthood. It's always been, you know, right up there for me because they saved my life. And because that was back in 1954, and in New York State, in spite of Margaret Sanger, for a long time it was illegal in New York State, and not too long before I'm talking about, women in New York State had to go across the border into Connecticut to get birth control stuff. And that wasn't too long before, I'm not sure it was in the 40s, but it wasn't way too long before I was going for help. So, I mean, that even though Margaret Sanger started it a long time ago, New York State was not very much in the forefront in terms of making it legal.
And it was in Griswold v. Connecticut that even married couples won the right. The Supreme Court case was when married couples won the right to use birth control. That was because of a Planned Parenthood. Somebody who worked for Planned Parenthood in Connecticut was instrumental in making that case happen.
Yeah, I wonder what year that was.
I think that we just celebrated the 50th anniversary.
So, see, that wouldn't have been too long before I'm talking about, because that was in 54, because I know that's when my third child was born, yeah.
Yeah. Trying to remember my years on that one. I don't have it handy.
It could have been probably maybe in the 40s, maybe before that, but... So that's just amazing for women to get even information has been kept from us for so long. Mm-hmm. You know, even we think of New York State, at least you can think of it as more progressive than maybe in the South here. And in some ways it is, and in some ways it's not.
Yeah, that's very true. Especially we're really lucky that here in North Carolina we have the Healthy Youth Act in place that requires comprehensive sex education, which means that sex ed in schools has to teach about FDA-approved contraceptive methods, including condoms.
Mm-hmm. And what is that act called?
It's called the Healthy Youth Act, and it passed, I believe, in 2011.
Well, that's good to know.
We
spend so much time being, this is before our present legislature. I hope that's not another thing that they undo.
Well, they did weaken the standards a little bit in the this last legislative session that just wrapped up. As it was written, the Healthy Youth Act required that curriculum materials be reviewed by experts in the field of sexual and reproductive health. Now they've said, you know, experts in any of a list of fields, including things like ethics, which, you know, to my mind doesn't seem like the folks that you want coming up with standards for sex education. Mm-hmm. Somebody with no training in providing healthcare, and especially in providing that to young people. But many of the other provisions of the act remain strong, and so I'm encouraged by that.
That is good news. That is very good news. So they have not really taken it away. They've changed it a little, but not really harming it.
Well, let's not give them any ideas.
No. I doubt if they're listening to this show, but we'll be careful. Do they have something like that in New York State, or is North Carolina in the forefront? Sometimes it can be.
So I've heard, and don't quote me on this one.
You won't.
I think that New York State doesn't have standards that are quite as clear as what we have here. Yeah.
So that's good news. That's very good news indeed.
And I grew up in upstate New York, so kind of talking to...
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm, talking to friends who went to school there, it sounds like, you know, several of us got kind of very different educations, which is still, I think, the case in North Carolina, where the curriculum that different school districts adopt may vary.
Yes, yeah. Whereabouts in upstate New York did you grow up?
Outside of Albany.
Outside of Albany? Mm-hmm. I lived in the Syracuse, New York area for quite a while. That's where I went to Planned Parenthood.
Great.
In Syracuse, New York, yeah. I grew up on Long Island, and I don't know what the situation is there. But I know when there's a strong Catholic population, that certainly doesn't help getting good sex education out, although I'm very hopeful with Pope Francis some of that may change. You know, I think he's going to try to change some things. We'll see if he can change some of those attitudes towards women. We're waiting and hoping.
I was going to say, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I am. I think he's good, and I think he will try to do some good things.
Well, I think it's worth noting, too, that over 90% of Catholic women either currently use or have used birth control.
Yes, the nuns are very progressive. I think women know what's best for them. And that, from what I understand, their rate of using birth control is just about the same as with Protestants or other religions, if not greater. I thought I heard one statistic that it was even a little bit more so, but I don't know if that's an exaggeration. But that is really interesting. I think a lot of times lay people are ahead of the clergy who get stuck in, rules and regulations. So Dick is showing us we have 2 minutes before we'll take a station break.
Okay.
And we can catch our breath, and we'll be making some announcements then. And so we've been talking about New York and North Carolina. What about the rest of the South? Is North Carolina kind of leading the way? Or
so it's really interesting, actually, the way that restrictions on access to safe and legal abortion do obviously vary by state. I think we've been fortunate so far here in North Carolina that we haven't seen the types of unnecessary facilities requirements that we've seen in places like Texas, where, as you might know, many clinics have had to close their doors. And there's a Supreme Court case that will be coming up this year that will determine whether the rest can stay open. The environment around access to reproductive health care broadly and abortion specifically really does vary by state. North Carolina has seen kind of a constant chipping away over the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
We're hopeful that trend will end, and we've been successful in fighting some of those attacks in court. South Carolina, we see extreme measures passed, or at least introduced, pretty much every year. They're not always able to pass those things because they have a required length that their legislature can be in session, mm-hmm. whereas here we can just keep on rolling.
It varies.
It does. In states like West Virginia, they have a court case that protects Medicaid coverage for abortion because, the reasoning in that ruling is that the health care that you have access to shouldn't depend on your income.
Wow. So there is quite a variety of rules and regulations mm-hmm. and responses in the various states. We're going to take a station break and We'll be back with
Emily from Planned Parenthood.
Yes, Emily Callan. We were told one time, people, you go on and on, but you don't mention the person's name, and somebody comes into the middle. Who's talking? I'm Lori Hoy. This is Emily Callan. That's Dick Paddock.
Dick Paddock.
And Emily O'Hare is Manny, personing the camera.
You're right, personing the camera. We're going to take a station break now, and I'll tell you that this is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show, the wake-up call. Excuse me. And not doing too well
okay,
here.
Well, I'll just mention we're one of the announcements we want to make is about our birthday celebration. This year, 2015, we're turning 100. It started in 1915 by Jane Addams. And in the triangle, 1935, 80 years ago, by Charlotte Adams. No relation to Jane, mm-hmm. but another feisty, strong woman. And so we're going to be having a celebration this Friday, November 6th, at the Church of Reconciliation. And it's from 6 to 8:30. We're going to have food and
music. And celebration.
And,
and resistance.
And conversation about solidarity and resistance, yes.
Right. Okay, and...
So please come. It's suggested donation $15, but don't let that get in the way. You're welcome to come with or without a donation.
Right. And we should... I guess you mentioned it's 110 Elliott Road?
No, I didn't. Thank you, Dick. 110 Elliott Road in Chapel Hill.
In Chapel Hill, right.
Yes, yes. And if you want to... It's nice if you RSVP, so we want to be sure you have plenty of food, and you can call me at 984-999-4069. But if you forget to RSVP and you want to come, still come.
Yes, please.
We'll have
do.
Extra food.
we're
sure to do that.
As a matter of fact, we ordered some extra today because we've had such a good response.
Yes, yes, we did.
And so... this is...
we ought to mention, too, who's Mediterranean Deli is catering, and Vilma's Curry Blossom Cafe is providing dessert and their famous hibiscus tea.
Right. So...
And we thank them.
Yes, we do. Our underwriters here are Internationalist Bookstore.
Yes.
At 101 Lloyd Street within... The sound of my voice, practically, at least when I'm not hoarse.
And, yeah.
And we're very happy to have had them as our underwriter ever since we've been on the air.
So, what, over 7 years ago?
Over 7 years,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we are having another thing to announce.
Yes.
And that is the fundraiser for the radio station. Hickory Tavern is going to host the fundraiser.
Tomorrow.
And it'll be, that's right, it's coming right up. It's tomorrow, November 5th.
This is to get you in a party mood for Will.
Right.
Yes, he's going to Hickory Tavern tomorrow night.
Hickory Tavern tomorrow night from 5:30 to 10:30 in the evening. And whatever you buy in the way of food and...
Just
I guess
food.
That's probably all they have. Food,
yeah,
food and drinks. The tavern part, the drinks also. And if you deposit your receipt.
Do not forget to deposit your receipt.
Deposit your receipt in the box as you leave. Then they total up the total, the receipts for the evening at the end of the evening. And 10% of that amount will be donated by Hickory Tavern to the radio station.
To this wonderful radio station. It's a community radio station run by volunteers and nonprofit, and it's got all kinds of wonderful programs besides ours.
Yeah. And something,
music, politics, there's a law show, there's one about energy, there's all kinds of terrific programs, a book review program. So
right.
Check the listing because there's some really interesting ones.
Yeah, and I should also mention that one of the other things that will happen at the Hickory Tavern event is there will be raffles.
Yeah.
And so you want to go in there and buy your raffle ticket. I actually won the raffle earlier. I don't know how I managed that.
The last
they
one?
Don't have, yeah, they don't have a rule saying that you can't enter if you're on the air, so I stuck it in, and I actually got some tickets to a special show at the State Fairgrounds. So,
wow.
So, and I imagine there's a fair chance that there'll be something similar among other raffle
prizes. Yeah, I think they sometimes
prizes.
Have, like, for dinner tickets for local restaurants
right.
and some really, really very cool stuff.
Right. So... back to you, and Emily and Callan, and
Emily Callan.
Planned Parenthood.
And Planned Parenthood.
And I had a question.
Emily O'Hare and Dick Paddock, please join the conversation.
Yeah. One of the things that I've often heard is that Planned Parenthood provides services for men, and I'd like to know what those are, other than, I presume, the educational sort of thing, particularly for students in school, qualifies both women and men or males and females, but I'd like to know more.
Yeah, we do. And fully 10% of our patients nationwide are men.
Oh, wow.
And the services that we provide, the services that they are most often seeking from us are STI testing and treatment. It's a service that we provide. And it's, you know, confidential. And in our other men's health services do vary by location. But yeah, we're most sought for STI testing and treatment.
Okay. Thank you.
So 10%.
Mm-hmm.
I never even thought about men going there.
Well, I've thought about it.
Yeah, well, of course you would, huh?
Right. Being the only male in the room.
It gives
me a vested interest in that particular information.
Yeah.
We're also really proud of being a non-judgmental and safe place for folks who are either non-binary or maybe LGBT to come and receive the care that they need.
So that, yeah, I didn't think of that either. Boy, there's a lot to think about. So where are we? Let's see. What should we talk about next? Let's see, in this whole realm of I'd like to go back to some of those education programs. You've mentioned that, and I'd like to highlight that a little bit for teens who are parents, since mm-hmm. I was one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say it with a great deal of pride, but it was okay.
Well, and, you know, interesting that you say that because there's a lot of stigma around young parenting.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was very, very lucky that the high school I went to, I think they knew I was madly in love, and I think they just all treated me very, very kindly. The school was great, encouraged me to finish, because it was towards the end of the school year that I dropped out for a while, but then I was invited back for graduation a couple months later, and I was inducted into the Honor Society. It was, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody was very, very, very good to me, and I was very lucky. But I know not all young women have that.
Right. Not
positive.
Everybody goes to a school that's supportive or...
Yeah.
Right, and there's a lot of stigma, I think, around young people who are parenting. One of the things that we hear pretty often from some of our college students is that they really need additional support to be able to stay in college and finish a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that I'm particularly interested in is, you know, what support is available.
Yeah.
That Wilmington program that teaches parenting skills to parenting teens and helps them prevent a subsequent pregnancy does have over a 96% success rate during the over a decade that it's been in existence. And one of the things that's really wonderful about that program is because it's health center based, folks are able to go and get their contraception right there. Many of the students who go through that program choose long-acting reversible contraception, so things like the IUD or the implant that are some of the mm-hmm. most effective forms of birth control.
So they come to the center for the parenting classes, mm-hmm. and are they able to stay in school?
Mm-hmm. Yep, like I said, over a 96% success rate, and one of the graduates of that program actually is currently parenting and working full-time and in school.
Oh, boy.
And also somehow... finds time to continue to come back to that program and be a mentor for other young people who are in it now.
Oh, what an amazing young woman.
She's incredible. Mm-hmm.
Is she in college or high school?
She is. She's in college.
Yeah. Wow. So it's been going on for 10 years. Is that the only location in this state that has the parenting?
That's the only place right now that has that specific program. Mm-hmm.
But in other states, they might have, some mm-hmm. other states may have that also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on really community need as part of the... part of how we decide what programs we're going to offer.
Yeah. So that's something that I don't think people think about when you hear Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. So then the sex education, I don't know if people realize about how that you do. They come to the Center for Sex Education, or do you develop models that are used in the schools?
So it really varies. Mm-hmm. Most of our programs. Are health center based, but several of them have a peer health education component, mm-hmm. which I think is really important, honestly, mm-hmm. because, you know, I'm sure you remember being a teenager,
yes.
And you didn't always want to, you know, hear some of these topics from your parents. But the information that people may get from their peers is of varying quality. And so if we've got folks who can be part of that conversation that young people are having amongst themselves, right, and helping to dispel some of the myths that tend to get circulated, you know, who are able to really talk about these topics in a way that's not shaming and that isn't full of, you know, fear, right, then that, I think, is really important, helps that message reach more people and
uh-huh.
helps people stay healthy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So with the sex education programs, is that something for boys too?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I was just thinking of your question.
Yeah.
Because I thought that's really important for boys to get that kind of information.
Absolutely.
Too.
And in Fayetteville, we have a program called Wise Guys.
Okay, so you go first.
No, go ahead.
Well, one of my grandsons. That's what he was an intern when he was getting his master's in public health in Greensboro.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's been working for at least a couple of years in the Greensboro area, developing those programs, going into the schools, into the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it's so great because, you know, he had been in the military and, you know, he's a strong guy. And I just thought for them to see a young guy come in and talk about that, those issues, and what does it mean to be a man, and
mm-hmm.
what does it mean, you know, he said it's just amazing how misinformed so many young guys are, and that,
yeah.
So that program is in Fayetteville, you, mm-hmm. it's where you're, yeah.
Yep.
I was so impressed, I didn't realize it was spread that all over like that.
Oh, yeah, we have, I think it's 9 health centers here in North Carolina.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and do you usually have it taught by a guy?
So that particular program is taught by a young man, yep.
Yeah. I think that's really, I really do, for guys to really feel that somebody, and where they'll feel they can speak up, frankly, where they would be a little shy or be careful what they say to a woman.
And it's important to know, too, that program especially also engages people's parents and brings them into the conversation. And so they'll do both classes that are specifically aimed at parents and helping them to talk to their kids about some of these topics, but that also, you know, are more fun. So we'll do game nights, things like that, to really get folks together and talking. Yeah, in a space that's comfortable for everybody.
So all the sex education programs, not just Wise Guy, try to bring the parents in.
Most of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of them, anyhow. Because I just think when you said about with peers you get misinformation, a lot of times with some parents, I mean, I certainly didn't get very good information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just don't kiss. or, you know, just very limited information that then you just discount.
And we do. We kind of mark Let's Talk Month every year. We have resources available online to help parents start this conversation with their children. So, yeah, I mean, we think that everybody needs to have the resources to have these conversations.
Yeah, so parents need it as much as anybody because
mm-hmm.
a lot of parents, it's amazing. I mean, you know, you think you may be cool, but when it comes down to sitting down with your kid, it's all of a sudden a lot of parents get a little tongue-tied and hemming and hawing. There's some cute skits that Garrison Keillor and other people can do about that those moments. And, yeah.
Well, and we hear a lot about, you know, the talk, right?
Yeah, the talk.
but we really believe, and evidence supports that this is something that it's a conversation that needs to happen
ongoing.
Over time, like starting from, again, helping kids set personal boundaries when they're young, right? Helping them be able to consent to things like being hugged, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So that they can feel safe in their bodies. And that's something that really, you know, translates, follows them growing up.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. I didn't realize about that you were bringing parents, and I didn't realize how much sex education y'all were doing. Mm-hmm. That I mean, that's where it's at, I think, you know, as much as anything.
Yeah.
It is Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yes. Planning.
Right. And so we think that work is I also think that work is tremendously important, because really, you know, at the end of the day, we're about people having autonomy, right? And being and having sexual and reproductive freedom. And so a big part of that is having the freedom to make the decisions that are best for you and that are informed.
And for women to feel it's okay to say no. So many times women don't want to hurt the guy's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And they will put up with behavior that they're not quite comfortable with. And then at a certain point, it can get worse than that. And it's so hard. I've counseled women, you know, in my previous life as a therapist, and it's very, very hard for a lot of very smart, bright women, but they tiptoe around about not wanting to hurt somebody's feelings, and I just think group things like that can be so empowering, you know, to just be with other women and realize it's okay, they do survive when you say no, you know.
Right. Well, and we've the National Office put out just, I think, a couple of weeks ago, a series of videos that really gets into what consent looks like. So really demonstrating, right, this is what enthusiastic consent looks like. This is, you know, what the gray area might look like and how to handle that appropriately. And then, right, what somebody saying no really looks like, so that folks can really see those behaviors and
because
we can bring that out into the open a little bit more.
Big discussion on college campuses, you know, back and forth about, you know, what that's like, and it's for many people, it's kind of a new language almost.
Right, and I think we really, you know, in kind of using language that talks about, you know, just say no, right, have really blown right past the importance of folks saying yes.
Yes, yeah. And just to hear it modeled and just to get some practice in this in a safe group or whatever, so that it's words that kind of come more easily and readily. You don't just go, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And we had some of our young people at one of the campuses we work with who dressed up as safe sex fairies for Halloween. It was a big party night on campus, so they had they had condoms with them and were able to kind of be on the lookout at some of those parties for folks who might need somebody to just step in and say, like, hey, are you okay? Yeah. The pictures were pretty great from that.
I love it. Safe sex fairies. Okay. So funding is like okay, although I'm sure you can always use.
Yeah, so most of our funding comes either through reimbursement for the services that we provide to patients, right? Mm-hmm. So we do take insurance in our health centers. We also get federal Title X funding for family planning services that we provide. We also get funding.
Oh, was that Title X?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Sorry, sink into wonk speak sometimes.
Okay.
And then we also, a large part of our funding comes from individual donors or from grants. And folks can give online at give.ppsasinsamatasintom.org.
Want to say it again?
Yep. It's give.ppsat.org.
Okay, so I should write that down. Did you get that, Dick?
give. PPSAT.org. Yeah.
Okay, good. You get 100% on that test.
Good.
Yeah, so we encourage people to give. You know, I'm sure some funding got lost with recent things going on, but hopefully it's being picked up by others, and that means you Listeners, yeah. This is looking for a good organization to give to. Planned Parenthood, it's proven itself longer than I even thought. For 99 years, it's been there for women and for men. Now we know that too. And it's a wonderful organization to give to.
Well, and we appreciate the support that we've seen really from our community.
Yeah.
Really for the entire time we've been in existence.
Yeah. Well, that you're doing so well in spite of there's always going to be some people from Margaret Sanger's day on who are going to try to keep women under control and not in charge of their bodies or their health or their life. There's always going to be a few people like that, but hopefully the tide is changing in terms of people being educated to realize how important it is. And planning is the word, that the more women can plan when it's a good and safe time for them to have a baby, it's better for them and it's better for the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a win-win for everybody. It's a win for children, a win for women, and it's a win for men.
Right. And, you know, I talk about all the time that about a week after that first clinic handing out information about birth control opened nearly 100 years ago, it was shut down. But here we are nearly 100 years later because we know that folks need health care. Most of our clinics are in, or our health centers are in, places that are either rural or medically underserved areas. We are here to serve a real need.
So I this is an unfair question. I wonder how many clinics there are in the country, in this country. But they're in every state. How many in North Carolina?
In North Carolina, I think we have nine.
Nine clinics in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And so this is one.
You can rattle off the list if that's helpful.
we've already talked about Greensboro, mm-hmm. Fayetteville, Wilmington.
It's funny. I always kind of go from west to east.
Oh, okay.
That's how I can keep track of it. So we are in Asheville, Charlotte, Winston-Salem, Greensboro, Fayetteville, Chapel Hill, Durham, and Raleigh. So that's eight. I might be missing one.
There's one somewhere in the state that we
but I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, so this is just one state. So you take 50 states,
yeah.
And even figure what, nine per, so what is that?
It varies a lot by state. How many we have one health center in West Virginia.
Really? Mm-hmm. Just one.
We have two in South Carolina. Mhm. So it does. It really varies by state.
Yeah.
But something I also want to be sure to mention is that we recently launched online appointment scheduling here in North Carolina, and then really across our affiliate. We're Planned Parenthood South Atlantic, so we are in West Virginia, South Carolina, and the western half of Virginia as well. So you can go online and make an appointment with us now.
Wow, so you're making the access easier, mm-hmm. for people, which is always a good thing. Yeah, so that so people would look you up in the phone book or go online.
I was going to say you can find us online. We're Planned Parenthood South Atlantic. Although, if you Google Planned Parenthood, it'll pop up with the one that's closest to you.
Yeah, I was just thinking that would be the easiest way.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have phone books hardly anymore. So, I just realized that when I said that. So you could go online, although you could. I'm sure if there's a phone book around, they'll be in the phone book.
Yes.
Yeah. Planned Parenthood. Well, Emily, do we have any time left, or how are we on time?
There's 6 minutes left.
We have 6 minutes left. We could always play some music. We should have some.
I don't know if we have any Planned Parenthood.
I was just going to say, do we have anything from the Raging Grannies? Is there anything that we can? We always bring music. Is there anything else that you wish you had remembered to say? You can be thinking about Emily. Didn't you have any question or? No.
I got my question in, at least.
You got your question in? Okay. All right, well, I think we'll just play some music and go out on some music.
Okay.
Let's just do our ads one more time. For one thing, let's give your if the people want to donate, give that one more time.
Sure. You can find us at give.ppsat.org.
I'm getting it to ppsat.org.
Right. And okay. So that's what the SA is for, South Atlantic.
South Atlantic.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to figure out what SAT stood for.
Besides tests, yes.
Right.
And then, and we'll just mention one more time about tomorrow night, go across the parking lot from where the radio station is, downtown Carrboro to Hickory Tavern.
Hickory Tavern in the...
What is that hotel right next door to us?
Right. Obviously, we don't pay much attention.
We don't pay the attention we should. Somebody's going to call us on that, I bet. But it's Hickory Tavern. It's right downtown Carrboro on East Main Street, right in the bottom floor of...
It's the Hampton.
The Hampton. Thank you.
Hampton Inn. Right.
The Hampton Inn.
It's on the first floor.
And there's free parking. There's a whole parking deck that is free.
Right.
That's a wonderful thing about Carrboro. You have free parking in Carrboro that is...
Yes.
There's an adjacent town that does not have free parking. So,
right.
So this is going to be a fundraiser for the radio station. And so it'll be tomorrow night from 5 to 10:30. Please go. And then the next night, November 6th, is our big birthday bash. And we are going to have food and music and conversation on solidarity and resistance. And it's going to be really, really, really good. And the Raging Grannies are going to sing. We have a new happy birthday song to Will. That's very exciting.
Very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
So here we are. Okay, we're going to go out on some music. Emily Callen, thank you so much for coming.
Just a quick ID here.
Yeah.
Women's International League for Peace and Freedom website is triangle.wilpf.org.
I knew we were going to forget something important.
And the website for the radio station is wcomfm.org. And there's always, of course, internationalistbooks.org.
Yes.
For our underwriter.
So if you wanted to find out more, so we keep talking about our birthday party, if you want to find out more about the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, you can go
to our website.
And you can go either for the national website, just go Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, or for the local one, go to TriangleWilpf.org.
Okay.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.